Brisbane coach Chris Fagan joins us on the show. Lovely to have you here, mate. Thanks for your time.
Great to be here, mate.
Much going on?
Oh, there's always plenty going on at this time of the year. It's a frustrating, nervous, excruciating time. The fans love it. The clubs probably hate it, but yeah, plenty going on.
So the big news today, whether it's news, I'm not sure how actually best to categorise it, but the Dane Beams story. Yeah. When did you find out about it?
When I got up this morning.
Yeah, and how was it?
It was news to me because, you know, I had a conversation with Dane post-season. We have normal exit interviews with our players, and he was bright and bubbly about the future of our footy club and looking forward to continuing with us. I've seen Dane several times since, the most recent at the weekend at Horsham for the haircut for Breast Cancer Network Australia for the Berry family.
Which you did as well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking a bit thin
on top.
That's
good,
today,
mate. Looks suits you, yeah.
So saw Dane there, so I had spent time with him, and he's not mentioned that to me, so that news is a complete surprise.
So as we sit here now, do you know whether he's actually requested a trade yet?
He has not requested a trade, no. There's been nothing come through to our club, so, you know, we'd be surprised. I mean, our club really put their arms around the Beams brothers this year and looked after them through a pretty tough time, and they did a terrific job as well, both Dane and Clay. And Beamsy courageously stepped down from the leadership group during the season. Funnily enough, his form really picked up after that, which was
absolutely
a great move. And
you
know, other guys at the club like Dane Zorko and Harris Andrews really stepped up as leaders and, you know, continued on from where he left off. So, you know, I'm puzzled by it, so I've had no discussion with anyone at our club about it, so it's just news to me.
How keen are you to pick up the phone and have a chat to him as quickly as you possibly can? Is that something that, you know, you will want to do?
Yeah, I'll probably have a chat to Dane to see if there's anything in it. But I don't want to insult him either, because I'm pretty sure that we have a relationship that if he was feeling that way, that he would come and chat to me about it. So, I'm sort of more inclined to think I would have heard from him by now.
Do you think he's obviously been going through, you know, in the last 6 or 7 months, an incredibly stressful, traumatic, emotional period in his life? Would you be surprised if he stands up at the BNF night and then pledges his love and commitment to the players in the club, and then whether there's meat on the bones of this one, and we suspect there might be, this is how he feels now. Would you be surprised if in a week's time, and I don't want to insult Dane either by asking you this question, but is it possible that in a week's time he might be feeling something completely different? Is he, to your knowledge, is he a bit volatile emotionally at the moment?
This year's been an emotional roller coaster ride for him, and that's fairly public. I mean,
yeah,
he's
absolutely
spoken about that. So he's had some mental health issues around it. So yeah, it is, anything's possible in that regard, that he may be feeling that way. But as I say, I'd expect him to come and talk about that if that was the case.
Yeah,
that's our relationship, and you know, we've been dealing with that, and Dane's been dealing with that all year.
The brother, the delisting of Clay, could that? I mean, I'm just kind of search for, because we listen to what he said. We've actually played back the speech he made on BNF night, and you put that on the record, and you think, well, there's no way this guy's leaving the footy club. Now, subsequent to that, Clay has been delisted by the footy club. He's married to a Melbourne girl. Is it possible that there have been some kind of, since then, some subsequent kind of personal developments that maybe the footy club's unaware of?
I would have thought it unlikely, because Dane knew that night that Clay was going to be delisted.
Okay.
You know, we're pretty open and honest in the conversations we have with our players, so I would have thought that none of our blokes would have been shocked post-season when that happened, because those discussions you have on an ongoing basis during the year. So, no, I would have thought Dane had his head around that. It's not to say that he wouldn't prefer to have his brother playing there.
Of course, yeah.
So would I, would you. So that's no different. You know, we love our siblings. So and if we got the opportunity to play AFL footy together, that'd even be more special. But no, I don't think there's anything in that.
So, Chris, as we sit here now, do you have to get, do you and David and other people in the kind of list management sector at the footy club, do you have to get your head around the fact that this might be coming and that you maybe do need to consider what you do next? Or are you staunch in the position that this is what you know of Dane Beams, this is how solid you are in your relationship with him, you've got 2 years to go of the bloke contracted, you're building into this phase two of your list development, and that there's really nothing to discuss here.
Well, that's what I feel like. So, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing to discuss. Now, I haven't seen our Dave Noble or Dom Ambrogio this morning. I've just come direct to here. So I'll head down to Etihad Stadium shortly here. But they haven't rung me to say that there's anything to the contrary to the situation as we understand it. So, I don't think anything's going to emerge in the days ahead, but footy's full of surprises.
It is, mate. You've been in the game for long enough to know that things happen that maybe are beyond, you know, what you can see in front of you in the here and now. In terms of where you're at with the list build, how pivotal is he to the plans in the next couple of years that, you know, you've been sort of hatching and developing and building?
Yeah, he's a big part of our midfield and obviously one of the better players in the league. So it's, in our best interest as a footy club to retain main services and that he continue with us. So at this stage, there's no plan not to have him as part of our plans, if you know what I mean.
So, last one on this. If it comes to pass that he does request a trade to Collingwood and you are prepared to entertain it, you know, at a prima facie level, do you have any idea what you want for Dane Beams?
No, I couldn't comment on that. We just haven't even thought about it or talked about it. So it's a reasonable question to ask. I'm sorry.
No, I understand.
I'd be talking out of school. So, and really that's for Dom and David Noble to consider. But they'll obviously talk to me if that comes to pass. But no idea at this point.
If people can only see your face right now, Chris, it's incredulity written all over it. And I think we're all a bit like that, to be honest. So I think we can probably empathise with how everybody within the Brisbane camp might be feeling at the moment. So beyond Dane Beams, it's an unbelievable excitement. This is a little kind of momentary pause on what is otherwise a really exciting time for your footy club. You've entered this next phase of the list build. You've got some players coming to the footy club that you think are going to be important acquisitions. It's an interesting time, an exciting time for people who are investing in your football club.
Yeah, it is. Like, we've been really pleased with the way we've drafted the last 2 or 3 years, and it looks like 6, 7, 8 of those players, McLuggage, Berry, Witherden, Rayner, Bailey, Starcevich, to name a few, look like they're going to be really good AFL players. So, they've started to get some games under their belt. So, you know, we think now is our time to try and bring some other more experienced talent in to build around that group. Mind you, if we can't get the experienced talent that we want, we'll keep going back to the draft and developing that talent, because we don't just want any players coming to our club. We want players that are going to make a difference. So that's our philosophy at the moment.
Do you reckon across the competition, Lachie Neal has been, to a degree, underrated?
Not by us, obviously.
No, not by you blokes. No.
And I wouldn't have thought by Fremantle.
No.
But I think, you know, he finished in the top 40 this year for All Australian. He produces week in, week out. It may be the tyranny of distance. I mean, a little bit of that happens up at Brisbane with some of our players too.
Yeah.
People don't realise how good they are because they don't get to see them on such a regular basis. So there may be a little bit of that, although, you know, people I know across the industry, he's held in really high regard.
What was it about Lincoln McCarthy that you guys liked?
I don't know. Have you ever watched his tapes with playing at Geelong? He's a
when very, his body's been right.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's a really, really good player. We've got a lot of trust at our medical team. When I first turned up at the club, I think there was probably 35 players at training. 23 of them were in rehab and the other 12 trained. They didn't tell me that when I got the job. But, we had a new medical team turn up at that time, led by Peter Blanche and our head of conditioning, Damien Austin, and they've done a fantastic job over the last couple of years at having our players available to play, and they've really helped some guys that had some injuries that kept bugging them to get over them, and we've had a healthy list. So the confidence we have in our medical and fitness team led us to the conclusion that Lincoln McCarthy would be a fantastic recruit for us. And maybe, you know, I think there's guys like this at every club. They've been there for 6, 7 years. They've had a lot of injury. They often feel like they need a change of environment to pick up, and I feel that's the case of Lincoln. I mean, he brings a lot to the table. He's a fantastic mark for his size. He's a great tackler. He can play forward and midfield. So, and he's a great character.
Yeah,
and I know I've heard Chris Scott speak about him. He thinks the same of him, so we feel really fortunate to have him.
How highly rated is that for you? The injury maintenance, injury rehabilitation, player maintenance, player development. Where does that sit in terms of the scale of importance for you?
Player availability is probably the most important stat in AFL footy. I mean, two or three players here out of your side can make a huge difference. So the healthier and happier you can keep your list, and it's the same with Andrew Crowell, our player development manager, just making sure our players are happy on and off the field, incredibly important. So those two things working together usually helps you have a happy football club.
Well, your footy club, probably to a lesser extent in the last couple of years, but certainly prior to you getting there, was a bit of a victim of players using the go-home factor to get back to where they came from, or certainly get somewhere else, whether it was legit that they wanted to go home or they just wanted to get out of Brisbane. Are you sensing from the people at your club who are in charge of this kind of domain, player retention, are you sensing that there's a bit of pushback now from clubs, players in contract? And this kind of goes a bit to maybe Beams a little bit, but players in contract wanting out before their contract's up, the clubs are now starting to think, no, we want a bit more control over this. We want to have a say in perhaps where you end up. Jason Cripps put this on the agenda two days ago out of Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I think clubs always like to feel like they've got a say and would like to have a say. It's a difficult one because he's right in a sense, but in other ways, I've seen instances where clubs are quite happy to move players on. It's a bit of two bob each way. And I think every year this debate is going to come up. Sometimes clubs are happy to let players go a little bit earlier to get more value for letting them go than what they'd do if they waited until they're free agents. Yeah. So there's lots of things to consider. I don't reckon it's black and white. It varies from circumstance to circumstance. So I've probably sat on my fence with the answer there, but I think that in reality that's how it is.
I think you've answered it pretty accurately. Talk about Chris Fagan, of course, there's a bit going on at the Brisbane Lions. Where are you at in terms of getting your balance of attack and defence right? The 2 years you've been at the club, scoring hasn't been a problem for you blokes at all. You've been able to kick 100 points a lot, and you're averaging sort of mid-80s on a weekly basis. Points against has come down dramatically in the 2 years that you've been there. Clearly, there's still a bit of work. You want to kick more than you have kicked against you, which isn't happening at the moment.
That's our next step.
That is the next step, isn't it? Do you feel like you're almost at a point to get it where you want it to be?
Yeah, we've closed the gap enormously between points for and points against.
You really have. It's amazing.
We've improved, I think, 7 goals over the last 2 seasons. It's just a work in progress, and it's not just about your defensive action. It's about your ability to win contested ball, because if you win the contested ball, you get the ball played in your half more often, which is really important for us. And we made big strides in that area last year, but still a work in progress for us. Hodgie obviously turning up has really helped with our organisation behind the footy, and he's teaching the other boys how to go about that, and that's been a big help. And that'll be one of the great legacies he leaves our footy club to guys like Harris Andrews and Darcy Gardner, their ability to coach from behind where the ball is. It's exciting to see what they've been able to do, but we know we've still got plenty more work to do, and we'd like to attack a little bit better and defend that little bit better and try and get our percentage up over 100. It got close to 90 this year. I think it was about 89 point something or other, which is a pretty good percentage for a team that only won 5 games.
Yeah, it's
just
not
shows
bad.
You how close we were in a number of games. But for us to turn those close losses into wins, I think particularly contested ball and defensive action are still two key areas for us.
It's good that you don't look like a coach who's asked your team to park its creativity and its flair. You seem like a coach who's invited your players and your team to continue to try and score, which I think's made Brisbane a pretty attractive team to watch in your brief tenure at the club.
Yeah, that'd be a fair comment. I think the enjoyment comes in football from scoring, and that's what the fans certainly like. We want to keep our fans happy. We want them to come to the Gabba and enjoy what they see.
Yep.
And we want our players to enjoy playing. So, it's a bit of a yin and yang, but you want to try and get both things going together. And I know there's lots of different ways you can coach it. You could just go full on and just concentrate on your defence and not worry about offence. Or you could go the other way. But I like trying to do both things together because I think they're connected.
Yeah,
that's the way we've gone about it.
Well, Hodgie, has he got... Surely he's only got another year left in him. You can't keep going, can he, the old fella, do you think?
I would have thought this would be the last year. That's the plan. So he did a great job last year. I think we aimed for 12 to 15 games, and he might have played 19, and we'll probably aim for the similar again this year and see how it rolls out. But whilst he's making a really strong contribution, there's no reason for him not to continue. But I figure, I can't speak on his behalf, but no. I think he'd be thinking that himself.
So you've spent time with Sam Mitchell. He's gone into the coaching ranks and coming back to Hawthorn now. Yeah. Do you see Luke Hodge becoming kind of a full-time coach? Is that whether it eventually becomes a senior coach, but is he of the type that could, you know, enjoy the challenge that comes with being, you know, on a full-time AFL coaching panel?
Yeah, it's not easy to speak on Luke's behalf because he's got a media role that he'll play when he retires as well.
Yeah.
But I think he's trying to work out what it is that he wants to do.
He's
certainly a natural coach, and if he chose to go down that pathway, I'm sure he'd be really successful with it. He gets on so well with people, and he knows so much about the game, and he's been through lots of things himself, so he understands adversity and all the challenges that come with AFL footy. So he's a bit of a natural at it, and I think if he decided to go down that pathway, that doors will open up for him.
Finding yourself in the middle of some of the biggest kind of stories and issues in footy at the moment, well, obviously we've got the Dane Beam stuff today, and we'll see where that plays out, but the competition committee's been, down in this neck of the woods, a constant source of conversation. Looks like we're getting a bit closer to knowing a couple of things. The goal square, 18-metre goal square, doesn't look like it's coming in. That's been reported this morning. I don't know whether you've got a comment on that.
I have no idea.
Right.
Because I was on the competition committee, but then since it's gone to the commission for decision-making, it's all gone fairly quiet.
Yep.
I haven't tried that hard to find out, because I respect, but
were you of the view that the thing needed, did you, I don't know whether you're in confidence not to do, but were you of the view that the thing needed to be opened up? Somehow the game needed to be helped in that regard?
The statistics were saying that it was more likely that the team defending the kick-in would score next than the team actually kicking the ball in.
Yeah, right.
So the idea behind extending the square was to try and get the ball out a little bit further so that it might be more of a 50-50 situation on kick-ins, not the way it is at the moment. So I understood the logic of that, and I was supportive of that idea or anything else that in the end we may come up with that can help open us up in that situation.
We need to let you go in a moment. You've got some other things you need to go and sort out, but you're actually here to a bit early to record a membership plug for the footy club. For you, you know, your football journey sort of taken you to various parts of Australia. How important is it for you that the Brisbane Lions maintains and nurtures and encourages back in a place like Melbourne the old Fitzroy connection? Is that something that is important to you?
Yeah, it's something that's really close to our heart. You know, we enjoy great support when we come down here to play, probably greater than some of the other interstate teams.
Yeah.
In a sense, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure there's somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000.
It's a pretty good number, I think.
Down here that are all ex-Fitzroy, and they form a very large and significant part of our membership group. And, you know, we come here to play, we go and train over at Wesley College. A large number turn up to watch us train, and the boys always enjoy that. And, you know, it's always in the back of our mind that not only are we representing Brisbane, but we're also representing old Fitzroy. And it was great the other day to see Fitzroy win a flag.
Yeah, they're just down the end of my road.
In the amateurs. I went down to training actually the Thursday night before they had that game.
Claiming some of the success.
No, I didn't. If you knew what I said, I'm not claiming any of it. I said something along the lines, you know, boys, you've done this well all year to make the grand final. Don't change whatever you're doing. Don't change it. Just go out and do it really well. So that was my message. But it was good to go down there and meet those lads, and it's good that the seniors and reserves, I think, won the flag that weekend. So
it's a pretty vibrant footy club, actually. Yeah, they're growing at a huge rate. And last one, before I let you go, by the time you and I, we're about the similar vintage, by the time you and I are pushing up daisies, will we have an AFL team in Tasmania?
Well, that's one of my great hopes
I know it is.
In life. I just feel you know, it's a bit like that film, The Castle. That line, about it's the vibe. It's Marbo. It's got to be Tassie.
I mean,
the way I see it, because Tasmania's played such a big role in footy in this country, and you know, one of the four original football states, and the other states have all been looked after, and Tassie hasn't. There's some good work being done at the moment down there to try and get the infrastructure right in place with the under 18 team, and then eventually, hopefully, a VFL team, so that if the opportunity does come up for an AFL team, all the things that need to underpin it are already in place. So, you know, that decision's up to obviously the AFL and the commission and circumstance, I feel, but I'm passionate. I hope I get to see the day when Tassie has a team in the AFL, and I hope it's not too far away.
I think it'll put a smile on a lot of faces, Chris. Yeah. You've probably got a bit of work today. We really appreciate you coming and having a chat, and good luck with Dane Beams. I think most people, other than it, some hardcore Collingwood supporters, hope that he ends up staying at your footy club and can be part of the journey that you guys are on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Andy.
Good on you. Chris Fagan, coach of the Brisbane Lions. Big day for the footy club, joining us on the show. Back with more on Afternoons after this.